Today, we're sitting down with Colleen Ballinger, actress, comedian, and YouTuber best known for her character, Miranda Sings.
If you were anywhere online in 2023, you probably saw Colleen's name trending. It's because she was accused of crossing personal boundaries with fans, some of whom were minors, and the response was intense.
She posted a response video that made the whole situation blow up even more. And what followed was one of the biggest public cancellations we've seen in a while.
This is actually the first time that we're meeting Colleen, and we've decided to do it now because we feel like enough time has passed for reflection and learning and for a real conversation behind the headlines.
It's easy to form opinions based on what we see online, but harder to sit down face to face and ask questions about what's really happened, what someone's taken from it, and how they're moving forward.
Our goal isn't to revisit every detail, but to understand the human side of the story that became very public.
So today, Colleen is here to share her perspective in her own words, to share what she's learned, what she regrets, and what she hopes all of us take away from it now.
And we're here to listen.
Here's our conversation with Colleen Ballinger.
You know, now that I'm a mom, obviously every choice I make, I think about how it could affect my children. And I wish that I went into my interactions with my fans with that same mindset of like, everything I say can affect them, and think about how this can affect these people that you're interacting with.
My next guest tonight is one of the most popular YouTubers in the world.
Her videos have garnered more than a billion views online.
You all know her as Miranda Sings.
Please welcome Colleen Ballinger.
Over 6 million subscribers, nearing 2 billion views, now a Netflix show.
You're famous. We're both famous.
Colleen has written a best-selling self-help book, is touring around the world, and has appeared with the likes of Jimmy Fallon and Jerry Seinfeld.
YouTube star Colleen Ballinger, who's better known as her online persona Miranda Sings, is facing significant backlash. She's been accused of having inappropriate relationships with some of her underage fans.
And now a new video she made is landing the content creator in even more hot water.
They wanted an explanation, and they deserved that, and I didn't give it to them.
What happened personally, internally?
I was so caught up in the things that weren't true that were being said about me that I feel like I wasn't listening to the things that were true. I don't blame anyone but me. It was like a part of my brain was missing. People do make mistakes, and people can learn and grow and change.
Did you know they were underage at the time?
Welcome back to another episode of Tea Time. Today on the podcast, we have somebody who you definitely know. Because
definitely
if you know.
Know
YouTube,
you know her.
You know her. You have to know her. Colleen Ballinger.
That is it. That is my name.
We said it right.
You did. I get so nervous about like butchering people's names, even though I know your name is
Colleen everybody
Ballinger,
butchers
and
hers.
I've said it so many times.
It wouldn't bother me if you did. Most people don't say it right. My whole life, it was Colleen Ballinger.
Ballinger.
Oh, Ballinger.
Yeah. People say I'm Mayday, and so people are always like, Mayday, because it's not with a middle Y.
Oh, okay.
So it gets very
confusing. My name is Raven. People call me Janet. It's so weird. I don't understand.
Okay.
Anyway, we really appreciate you being here.
We're really happy
today.
That you're here.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, there is a very big elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And I think that we just have to address it.
Sure.
Immediately.
Why Miranda?
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was thinking about that. I was like, how do we address this?
When I know. There? It's pretty massive.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. I mean, luckily for you, she's been gone for a while, so you don't have anyone to compete with that name.
But thank you.
I mean, do you actually want the answer to that question?
Yes, I do.
Why Miranda? Why did I name her? Why does she exist?
Why did you name her? We'll get into
the other
stuff later.
Why did you name her and then that?
I was in college doing a play, like a one-act thing, some student-run thing, and I was cast as the role of Miranda, and I thought it was a show about Disney princesses. That's what I was told, and so I was like, I'm gonna get Belle, and then it was like, you're Miranda, and Miranda was like the mean, rude girl in the show, and then when I actually performed it, I think our biggest audience was like 7 people or something. There wasn't a lot of people who came. So when my friends came, I would sing just off key, just a little bit, like just under the pitch or just above the pitch, or like be awkward on stage to make them laugh.
Yeah.
And so when I created the character, I needed a name. I just finished that show, and I didn't put much thought into it. It was just, I just did this character with this name, so I'll use that, you know.
Wow.
You're a mom of 3 now.
I can't believe that.
Right?
That's 3 babies. I don't know. I keep thinking there's going to be a day where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a mom. Like, it doesn't, I can't, like, can't even, it doesn't, like, I obviously am a mom and I love my kids more than anything in the world, but it's like, I love Flynn, Maisie, and Wesley. Like, I'm like, they're not, I don't have three kids.
How old do you feel in your body or in your brain? Like, how old do you feel? Because I feel like 20 sometimes.
20s, yeah. I'd say like mid to late 20s. I feel like I'm stuck there, like, in my mind of like, that's, yeah, maybe even younger. I don't know, but I definitely don't feel like I'm in my 30s. And when people say my age, I'm like, oh my God, why are you calling me old? Like, I don't, like, I don't, and I'm like, oh, they just said my age. Got it. You know, so
what is your age?
That's interesting.
Hilarious.
Oh, me? Oh, you're 38.
Yeah. I think, yes, 38.
We're the same age.
You're 38?
I'm 38.
You look a lot younger than that.
But thank you.
You look like a, what did you say before we started? A young British boy.
Yes. I'm a young British boy.
The loving
boy.
Words I heard them speak to each other before we started filming.
But let's talk about it, though, because you come from a big family. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that when you have that many siblings, like, you're just able to say whatever and blurt it out. And it's like joking and moving around. And one thing that I learned when I was on The View is that there's a difference between live in front of the audience and what's happening at home. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to kind of learn that conversation. Mm-hmm. So to slowly just kind of talk about it, do you feel like you're at home when you're in front of a camera and you feel like that, or have you?
Totally. Okay. I mean, that was the whole thing, right? I mean, when I started doing YouTube, it was like kind of when YouTube started.
Yeah.
So there, the whole appeal of it, I feel like back then, was that these people who were getting famous online, they weren't celebrities. They were real people. We were in our home. Like, that was the appeal of it, is that we were your friend, someone who's just, I'm talking to you from my living room, from my kitchen, you know, talking about my day. So yeah, definitely there. It's really hard to separate the two between, like, what's private home life and then what's part of the public persona. Mm-hmm. To me, it was always one and the same. So, and that was, you know, that was a hard thing for me to figure out the lines and boundaries of that, because I thought that was the whole appeal of, like, what a, back then, you know, when I started doing YouTube, it's that I wasn't a celebrity. The people who rose to fame in the beginning, it was, they're just like us. They're, you know, that's
how. Is that what made you want to start YouTube?
No.
What made you
It was brand new. When I found it was like brand new, I, you know, saw that people were talking to a camera alone in their room. And I was like, that's so strange, because now everyone talks to their phone, talks to their camera constantly. It's like, that's all we do all day. Mm-hmm. But 20 years ago, that was like, what are they doing? Do they know that I can see this? Like, I can see them sitting in their room talking to the camera. So I created the character of Miranda, and not you, but like my actual character. And I put it online for my friends. Like, you know, it was a joke for my friends, because, like I said, I used to sing a little bit off the pitch, like in theater and choir, to make them laugh. So I created this character that was like a little off with her singing, but was really cocky. You know, I thought it was funny, and I put it on to send to my friends. And so I only uploaded stuff to YouTube to send to family and friends as like a joke, or, you know, performance videos of me to send to my parents at home. I was in college. There was no such thing as a YouTuber when I started doing YouTube. It was just a website you could upload videos to. There was no desire to become famous from it. There was no desire to become a YouTuber, because that wasn't a thing. There weren't influencers. It was just people uploading videos.
I have a question about Miranda.
Okay.
Why the red lipstick?
Well, in the beginning, I would do whatever people didn't like. Because in the beginning, originally, I thought it was so funny that people couldn't tell if she was real or not. And so people thought it was real. And
meaning they thought
Miranda was a real person.
Like Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, they thought it was. So for a while, that was it. Like, people thought Miranda was a real person. And so whatever people said they didn't like in the comments, I would do it more. Because I was like, who sits and just writes, like, you don't, these are strangers to me. I don't know these people. And again, this is when it was all new. Like, this is brand new.
Sorry,
to me,
Kelly,
into the world.
It's still happening.
Oh, I'm a little aware that it's still happening.
These comments are crazy.
It's a lot different now. It's much different now than it was. But when they started trickling in, it was like, they'd say, oh, I don't like how you pronounced this word. And so I'd mess up how I pronounce words more moving forward. I've tried to egg on the comments a little bit in the beginning because I thought it was funny that people thought it was a real character.
It sounds like you were doing It sounds like you were doing performance art and having the audience inform you of where to go next, mm-hmm. knowing that a little tinge of under the note is very appealing at times, right? And that's how you kind of gained your following, by just a little bit of irritation to where people could hate and could love at mm-hmm. the same time.
Right. Yeah, I think the appeal in the beginning was that people couldn't tell if it was real or not. And then when people figured out that it wasn't real, they felt like they were in on a joke or something. Mm-hmm. They were in on it. And that was fun for them. And, you know, like I said in the beginning, it was an older audience for the first few years of my career. And I was doing a lot of, nightclubs and stuff like that.
Like, how old do you think?
I just graduated college, so there are people my age, but it was the gay theater community. It was like a lot of like older gay men that would like come to my shows. And so, you know, my comedy was it was crass and, over the top and whatever, but they liked that they were in on this joke. And Miranda was a lot more subtle at the beginning too. You know, over time it became this like really dramatic, more cartoony, like, intense character, but like in the beginning it was much more subtle. Mm-hmm. And over time, as people commented what they did and didn't like, I would do things more. So in the beginning, people I think were drawn to the fact of, is this an actor or not? And then once they figured that out, and then the audience kind of grew and changed over the years, the appeal shifted, because mm-hmm. I noticed people started coming to the shows and saying that they were inspired by the character, and they were inspired by her resilience, and that she didn't care what haters said about her, and she didn't care that people were bullying her. She still just was her true authentic self and was confident no matter what anyone said. And so, and that was never my intention, but it was a cool thing to watch happen, that all of a sudden people were inspired.
And this was still live, right? This was not on YouTube yet.
Well, it was on YouTube. It was both. So I had YouTube, and I used YouTube as a way to promote the live shows. So online, it was mostly, you know, people hating Miranda. I mean, there were some comments too, like laughing and thinking it was fun and silly and whatever. But yes, it was definitely in person and in fan letters and whatnot. That's where I would get the comments of like, this really helped me, you know, to be myself, to be my weird self, and to have confidence and not listen to the haters. And that was like a really pleasant surprise of doing the character that I wasn't expecting, was it becoming something that kind of became an inspiration for people to not care what people thought, especially as the internet was growing and rising and, you know, online bullying and hate was getting worse and worse. Like, I think it was good for people to see and hear someone who wasn't traditionally pretty or talented. You know, it was like this weird looking, untalented girl, like, be like, I don't care what you say, I'm so confident. Like, she didn't, you know, Miranda didn't care what anyone said.
When Miranda came to be, it really wasn't, like, that was for an adult audience.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I certainly never thought I'm making a kid show or a kid character or something to entertain children. Like, that was never the goal ever, actually, in my career. And even when I did my Netflix show, that was a discussion that we had constantly, because they were like, you know, they were noticing, because they came to a couple of my live shows, the people involved, and they're like, oh, there's a lot of teens here. So let's put this on the kids app. And I was like, whoa, this is not a kids show. Like, I do not want this on the kids app. That would be inappropriate. Like, this is 100% not for children. And it was like but they really wanted it there because they saw a younger audience. And they were like, we want the younger audience to be able to see this. And I was like, that's fine, but like, they need their parents' approval, because this is not a kid show and this isn't a kid character. So I never set out for it to be for kids, or, you know, it was, like I said in the beginning, my comedy was pretty crass. And you can go back and look at like my old original content, my first videos I ever uploaded, like my humor was that of like a, you know, mid-20s girl who was in theater, and, you know, with all my gay friends just being, we were being like silly and ridiculous and crude. And but the people watching me, they liked that style of comedy and that that style of humor.
You said that Miranda sings, you had a good 20-year run. 20-year run with that. You got a Netflix show, girl. I ain't even had a Netflix show. God damn. I'm sorry.
You had yet.
Thank you.
Yep.
I can do anything. You had a 20-year run. You explained that you hustled to make that character what it was. And then the world imploded. Mm-hmm. And then you got canceled. Mm-hmm. And then you had all these accusations and a lot of voices come through the screen that had been rooting for you for so long. Mm-hmm. You had the rug pulled out from underneath you. We will get into those and kind of talk a little bit about some of the comments people have made and how certain situations have made watchers and viewers feel. But I first want to ask you, when you first got that ting about, oh no, something is going astray, mm-hmm. what happened personally, internally to you?
You know, it was kind of a slow build. And I feel like I felt it brewing for a little bit first, you know. It was a very jarring experience. And first, I think I should say, you know, when my audience kind of grew and it went from this older audience to, you know, it spread and there was now a lot more teens watching me. Mm-hmm. I didn't adjust my comedy very much because I was like, well, they found me doing this, so this is what they like and this is what I like, so I'm going to keep doing the comedy they like. And I did adjust it a little bit over time. But one thing that I didn't do, and I should have been, obviously should have been much more careful about, is I didn't adjust my interactions with my fans. And that's something I regret a lot because, like I said earlier, the difference between me and a mainstream celebrity, at least in the beginning, was that I was attainable and, look, she'll talk to us. She'll interact with us. And she's talking to us from her living room. She'll talk about anything. And she's so open and she'll talk one-on-one with us. She meets us in person at her shows and whatnot. And we know her, you know. And I didn't think about that there, when I was interacting with my fans, I didn't think about a power dynamic that could have been there. I didn't think about a parasocial relationship, and I should have. I should have been more responsible in thinking about that, but I didn't even think of myself that way. I was like, yeah, we are friends. Like, I think I felt the same way. And so for me, I was like, well, I'm just talking to my friends. I talked to all of them like they're my friends, my sisters, all the fans. And I definitely should have been more careful with the way I was joking with them and the things I was saying to them.
Do you feel like not having a team earlier in your career hindered you from making better decisions?
I definitely wish I had someone to give me advice. I was, you know, I was with that group of like the first YouTubers that kind of like rose to any sort of stardom or fame, you know, in the beginning. So it's not like there were people before me doing this that I could look to and ask mm-hmm. questions about. This was a new thing. Yeah. And so, and I'm not saying that as an excuse, you know, there's plenty of other people who rose to fame who didn't interact with their fans. And it was something that I felt was an appeal to why people were watching me at all. And I felt such pressure to like make sure I made my fans happy because I wanted to do anything that they wanted and I wanted to write back to every letter and respond to every message and whatever they asked for, I wanted to give them and do because they were the reason I had the career that I have. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't have the life that I have and the amazing career that I had. And
it sounds like everything you were doing online was from a place of trying to please your fans and connect with your fans and
not lose them.
Not lose them.
Yeah. I really...
That's pressure.
But even with all that, I wish first that there was someone there to help guide me and say like, hey, this could look bad taken out of context. This could mm-hmm. look like, this could make someone uncomfortable or, you know, I wish there was someone there to kind of help guide me. But at the same time, I'm also disappointed in myself that I didn't know better because mm-hmm. other people did. So why didn't I, you mm-hmm. know? So that's something that I've had to work through is like, why didn't I think more about this? Why didn't I think more about, you know, a parasocial relationship? But
do you have answers to those questions?
You know, I think it all boils down to me just really wanting to make them the people pleasing tendency of like, I want to do this because this will make they're begging me.
Them to love you.
I wanted them to love me. I wanted them to like my content. I wanted them to be happy with what I was putting out there because, like I said, everything I everything that I had was because they supported me. And so, you know, that's what I was trying to do. But it would have been so much better for me to think about their well-being and if this would affect anyone in a in a negative way. Like, that's what I wish I had done.
When did you realize that people were starting to be negatively impacted?
Oh, man. There's multiple moments. Because it was, like I said, it was a slow build, but, like, it was, I'd see people who had been fans for a long time would come to every show, were commenting on everything that I, you know, at this point, I'd recognize because I would talk to them and I knew them. Mm-hmm. And to see them slowly drop off one at a time was like, oh, they're very upset. That was painful and really sad. And I wish I'd listened more when all of it happened. I was so caught up in the things that weren't true that were being said about me that I feel like I wasn't listening to the things that were true and the things that I did make mistakes doing and take responsibility for those things. Instead, I was like, well, they're saying all these other things about me that are lies and that's not true. And I was angry about those things. And I wish that I had just paused and listened for a second.
There's a lot of things that were said about you. There's been allegations of grooming behavior. Mm-hmm. Or how do you, what do you think they're talking about?
That's the one that got me the hardest. When that allegation came up, that's when I was out. I was done. Because that was devastating. And shocking. It was very shocking because I know that my intention and my actions have never been fueled with the desire to manipulate or groom anybody ever. That has never been something I have done or will ever do. And it's a very serious accusation.
Very serious.
Mm-hmm. So when those kind of words started being thrown around, that's when I kind of was, I kind of shut down. And that was devastating to hear. And, you know, you asked, what does that mean to other people? That's why this was a hard thing for me to know how to navigate, because it wasn't about what did she do or what didn't she do. It was more about what was her intention behind some of these actions, I think. And my intention was being decided for me by people talking about it. My intention wasn't to hurt or do anything negative ever. Now, that doesn't mean that people weren't hurt.
Right.
And that's the part that I wish I had paid more attention to. But I obviously didn't handle the situation the way that I should have. And it's really embarrassing. I wish that I could handle it a lot differently than I did.
When you say that, are you talking about, like, the apology
talking
videos?
About a musical instrument that I should have not picked up. I should have listened to what people were saying, and I should have...
I think people want an apology. I think people want for you to acknowledge the things that happened on stage. I hope that you give that to them.
I agree with you. I think that they do want an apology, and I am sorry. And here's the thing is when you mess up and when you make a mistake and do something wrong, sometimes you got to keep apologizing for it. And that's what I should have done. Like, and people keep saying it's an apology song. I didn't apologize in that thing.
You did not.
I did not.
You know what?
There
you are correct.
No,
you did not
sorry
apologize.
In that.
You did not. I was actually laughing. Just letting you know, that was some crazy penmanship.
We also, in watching it, I remember one of the things that we talked about was it felt like you were angry.
Yeah,
and, I was.
And burnt out and just...
Fed up.
Yeah, fed up.
I was.
Yeah.
And it's very clear that I was angry. And that's why I keep saying I wish that I had just paused for a second and listened to my fans, to my supporters.
And processed.
Because while there were things being said about me that weren't true... My people who would support me for so many years that I'm up here saying, like, I just wanted them to be happy. I wanted to make them happy. Well, they wanted an explanation. They wanted to understand what was going on. And they deserved that. And I didn't give it to them. Instead, I was angry and sang a song, which is crazy.
It blew shit up.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It was.
I'm aware.
Okay, it's, just letting you know. That was crazy,
absolutely
bro.
Absolutely crazy. And yeah. I think, you know, when the dust did settle, because I, like you were saying, I did want to address it. And I was being told, I got a lot of advice from a lot of people. And the majority of the advice was, don't say anything. Mm. And I'm sure you know from being in the
Honey,
industry for so long.
I tell her all the time, don't say nothing.
Right. Don't address it. Don't say anything. It will just make it worse. Don't address it. Don't say anything. It'll just make it worse. But I was in this, I'm a different position than a traditional celebrity because people watch me because I was so open and I talked mm-hmm. about everything. I mean, I've talked about everything like that. I've been through my mental health and my births and my pregnancies and my journey to fame. Like, I mean, everything I've been through, I've talked about online very openly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my audience, that was one of the reasons they liked watching me. And so then to suddenly be like, not only am I not going to talk about this, I'm going to sing this song about it. And like, and it was such a
dear mess.
Choice.
It was such a choice.
I very much.
Such a choice, bro.
Yes. And so I think, you know, I was like getting so frustrated because I was just like, let me just address this. Like, please let me just talk. I just want to talk about this. And so finally after I posted the video, it was shortly after I posted it, I was talking to someone on the phone from my team, and I was like, oh, that was a huge mistake. That was really Oof. Stupid. It was like there was so much, I have to say something, and finally I let it out.
What does regret feel like?
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's horrible. Because because you want to fix it, you can't fix it. And that's the worst. Like, I wanted to fix it so bad, and there was no fixing it. There was nothing I could do to fix it. And that was so awful. That was so, because not only did I not address anything that I wanted to address, not only did I not, you know, dispute the lies that I wanted to dispute, and I just made things worse. It was so bad.
So where do you think your mind went during that time that you were so unable, I guess, to have the perspective you have now?
Were you trying to save a character? Were you trying to save yourself? Were you trying to...
Were you just, like, completely...
Blacked out in
anger?
Kind of
disconnected from it, and you're like, I'm just going to do this because I'm pissed?
I feel like it was a little bit of all of it. I mean, it was really overwhelming to, you know, have these words thrown around in connection to me and my name that are really horrible. I mean, that's a horrible thing to be and to be accused of. When you know that you are not that, especially because, in my opinion, that's one of the worst things a person can be. It probably is. And so to be accused of that, knowing that I'm not that.
Are you speaking of grooming?
Grooming. Grooming and in any way harming
children.
Children.
Yeah.
Is the opposite of something or someone I am or ever would want to be. And so to be connected to those words was devastating. It still is, and it mm-hmm. and you know that's something that will, you know, kind
it'll
of
follow you around.
It will follow you around. It will.
There were moments in your live shows where there were children brought up on stage, and you were, as showbiz says, going for the funny mm-hmm. in a lot of moments. However, looking back at moments. There is another person on the internet who is saying that when she went up on stage for your live show, she was a part of the yoga challenge section of your show. And it made them feel gross. Later in life, they were essayed. And when they look back at that moment with you, they feel similar feelings. Can you dive a little bit deeper into what happened at the yoga challenge?
It was a challenge on YouTube for a while for people to try out different yoga poses. Like, couples would do it together because if you're not experienced in yoga, it's difficult to do. And so since I'm a YouTuber on my live show, sometimes I would do challenges from YouTube. So I did that challenge and I'd have people come up on stage and we would try out different yoga poses that popped up on the screen. Mm-hmm. And obviously we could never do them and I would be, you know, flailing about as Miranda. And there was one pose where there are two people and both legs are spread open. You're holding each other's legs. And I genuinely never thought of it as a sexual or inappropriate thing. To me, the joke was that when the legs were open for to do the pose, the fart sound effect came on screen. So it was like, once the legs opened up, there was a fart sound. And to me, that was all I thought that that joke was. I never knew that that was something that would make someone feel uncomfortable and trigger emotions and feelings. I feel terrible about that. Genuinely, when I heard about that, I felt so bad, because that is something I'd never want to do, is trigger anyone, but especially a girl who's been through horrible things in that manner. Like, that, it feels so terrible that me doing this silly yoga joke, in my mind was a silly yoga joke, could be something that could trigger her in such a negative way and affect her in such a negative way. And it's awful. And I'm really proud of anyone who's been able to come forward and express that, because I want kids and minors and anyone to be able to feel like they can speak up if they're uncomfortable, and they can speak up about things that they feel are not okay. They need to be able to feel that way. Certainly, you know, the things that I've done in my comedy in the past, like, there's so many things I look back and go, oh my God, I would never do that. Now I can't believe I did that. And it was for the laugh. You know, you're on stage and it is different than when you're online and you can read comments from people who go, hey, that's not cool. And you can go, oh crap. When you're on stage and everyone's laughing and enjoying it, and then telling you after, that was the best part of the show when you did this, this, and this. And a lot of the comedy that I did with Miranda, when my audience shifted, I was like, okay, how do I keep this audience that liked this crass humor and now appealed to this younger audience that now is growing so much? And my solution to that was, I will still do these more crass innuendo type jokes, and it'll go over the kids' heads, and then the parents will have something to laugh at, and the adults will have something to laugh at that are in the audience. And that was my solution to that.
That was you rectifying what was going on stage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought, you know, well, everyone knows that I'm a safe person and I don't mean anything negative by this. I was like, well, everyone knows this is in jest, you know. And so it's fine for me to do this, because the crass jokes will go over the kids' heads and the adults will laugh at it. And that is how it seemed to me. I didn't think more about how that could be affecting the younger people in the audience.
Do you feel like you have a different perspective now between, let's say, like, bad judgment and harmful behavior?
I definitely do. Yeah, I certainly think that and especially now, you know, now that I'm a mom, obviously every choice I make, I think about how it could affect my children. And I wish that I went into my interactions with my fans with that same mindset of, like, everything I say can affect them, and think about how this can affect these people that you're interacting with.
Did parents ever confront you after? Did you ever get any kind of interaction with an adult who said, this didn't feel good for me and my child?
No, I never did personally. I don't know if someone got that message and I never received it. The only complaint I ever remember receiving in that way, in person from a live show or anything, was at the beginning of my shows, I used to do a ukulele song. where I would sing the hate comments that I received. And it's hate comments, so there was a lot of bad language, and the comments were on the screen, and I would sing them. And we did get some complaints about that. They were like, you're saying bad words, like, in the first 5 minutes of the show, and I have my young kid here, you know, whatever. And so then I changed it. I bleeped the words on the screen, and I bleeped the audio of it too, so that you couldn't hear or see it. And we also changed on the website everywhere, like, this is a PG-13 show, like, you know, making sure everyone knew that this was not a kid show, because I got that complaint. And so I don't know if we were getting that complaint and it was stopped before it got to me or not. But I never received a complaint like that. And in fact, I was usually told, oh my gosh, these jokes that were, you know, they didn't get it, but it was so funny when you, I can't believe, it was always the shock of, like, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you did that. And I was always told that it was all funny and it was so ridiculous and over the top. And,
you know, time is interesting. Time is really interesting, because if you go back in time for entertainment, there's been many a comedian, many a entertainer that has done things in their early career that when they look back on, they wish they didn't, mm-hmm. because culture changes. While people were laughing with you and quote unquote at you because of the character, it must feel so like two-faced for you, for all these people who were laughing with you, and then all of a sudden
have them turn against you.
It's painful to see people who supported me and laughed with me and all this stuff suddenly turn and change their mind about it. But I don't blame anyone but me for, you know, I completely blame myself, especially because I know that people do make mistakes and people can learn and grow and change. And one of my biggest mistakes was not listening and addressing things and taking responsibility.
And playing the ukulele.
Yeah, I'm playing that damn ukulele.
So like, I just don't want you to forget that.
I will never, trust me, I will never forget
that. Okay, just make sure.
I went to a fair with my husband and kids, and they had these like colorful little kid ukuleles. And I was like, oh, I want to get one for one of our kids. And my husband was like, no. And I didn't even register to me, which is crazy because I always think about it. And I was like, no, what? He's like, do you have something to put it in? I was like, I'll just carry it. And he goes,
no.
We're in a public place. No. And I was like, what's wrong? And he was like, you cannot hold a ukulele that is hot pink and walk around a fair. Are you insane? And I was
and you're like, yes,
I am. And also, thank you, because I was about to do it. I just didn't, you know. I don't know how I didn't think about it, because I think about it all the time and how like, oh, I'm like, God, I really like that instrument. I can never play it again. You know, it's like, but it was just, anyway, let's get back to what I was talking about. I just got distracted.
Now, this is a live show. My apologies for never going and seeing the entire thing.
No worries.
But if you could explain why there is a clip of YouTube of a little boy eating Cheetos out of your pants. Could you explain that for the audience, please?
Pulling Cheetos. That makes it sound more agreed. Like he's physically eating out of her pants. He wasn't. He was taking one.
Oh, he was taking a See, that's how things get twisted.
Right. Yeah.
So could you explain it, please?
Well, I mean, what a crazy thing to hear that there's a woman on stage and there's a young person taking food out of her pants and eating it on stage. I mean, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. A lot of the joke with Miranda was that I would say and do things that were inappropriate or had some sort of sexual innuendo to them or something like that. And it went over the character's head. Like Miranda was not aware that she was saying something that could be taken the wrong way. That was a lot of the jokes that I did as the character. And so in that particular part of the show that I did, it was probably 8 to 10 years ago that I used to do that bit. Miranda was teaching the audience how to sneak food into the movie theater. And so I stuffed a big bag of cheese balls in my pants. Now, I was wearing layers of clothing because throughout the show, I put more clothes on over my clothes on stage. When I transitioned from me into Miranda, I, in front of everyone, put on more clothes. So I'm wearing lots of layers of clothing. And then there's the cheese balls in a bag and in my pants. And so initially, I would bring up an adult, and I'd start eating the snack as we're quote unquote watching this movie. And then I'd say, do you want a snack? And then they would take a cheese ball from the top of the bag and eat it. It was supposed to be like, she doesn't realize how inappropriate this looks. And then, you know, there's a clip, like you said, of when a younger person came on stage and did that with me. And the audience is laughing because, and you could see my reaction, like, this is a weird situation that I'm in here, but it got a big laugh and everyone knew that it wasn't just, and this is me trying to, you know,
rationalize.
That's the word. Yes. Rationalize the situation. But shortly after, like, I mean, I'd say within a year of doing that joke, I cut it. Cause I was like, I think this
may be within a year of doing that joke, you what?
Cut it. Like I stopped doing it
because
it was, I mean, my fans were, a lot of them were younger at this point. So I was like, you know, I'm not good. Obviously this joke is not, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Working.
It's not working. It's not appropriate. And so I cut that. I regret doing that. I should have never brought kids up on stage, even though the joke was that Miranda doesn't know that this is inappropriate. And the audience is like, it doesn't matter. I should have been like, if I'm going to do this joke, it's in my adult show that I'm doing with adults that are consenting and know that this is the joke, that Miranda doesn't understand that this could look bad.
So you have admitted to sending lingerie to an underage fan. And I know you've talked about this before, but I would like to ask you one more time to address this and kind of what happened and how you're feeling about it now.
Yeah, what an idiot is how I feel about it now. I think it was like 10 years ago, something like that. I was doing a live stream, and I always loved giving away gifts to my fans online. So I would send them like a bobby pin of Miranda's or a lipstick of Miranda, an old shirt, you know. Usually it was to encourage them to donate to a charity event that I would do every year. But I loved giving out stuff. And so I was doing a live stream like I did pretty often, and I was opening up a box of clothes that I had bought. And in it was this underwear bra set that I didn't order. And it was, we were all laughing about it. So everyone in the chat was laughing about it, me and my friend. And he actually put it on over his clothes and was like, look at this. And we were laughing about it. And there are people in the comments saying, oh, send that one to me. And we were like, we're not going to do that. That's crazy. But then there's one fan in particular who kept asking us to send it. And I was like, obviously you can tell in the live, like, I'm like hesitant about it, because there is a little bit of brains in there somewhere that was like, maybe not, because I hesitated. But then I was like, and I didn't send it. I didn't. But then it was just became an inside joke with the fandom, and everyone was like telling me to send it, and he kept asking for it. It was like months of this. And so finally I did, and it was very public and as a joke. And it was like a part of my brain was missing in action of like, hey, this is not a good idea. This looks bad. It wasn't a pair of my something that I sent to a young fan in a inappropriate way, but it was inappropriate. Like, why would I, what part of me thought like, everyone will know this is a silly joke in the fandom. Like, that was, I wish I'd never done that. That was so inappropriate. And if he was made to feel uncomfortable because of that, like, I feel terrible and I'm so sorry, because that was not my intention with that. I thought it was like a silly inside joke with the whole fandom. It was all very public, and it was, I thought it was a silly thing, and it was so stupid.
It's also difficult, I think, in that specific situation when you feel like you're being given permission, if you will, because everyone is saying kind of the same thing. Everyone seems in on the joke. Everyone seems to understand it. Everyone is saying, send it, send it. And then you have this person not dropping it after that, but continuing the conversation weeks after this has happened. Mm-hmm. I can see where you don't think about potential negative consequence, mm-hmm. because in that moment it feels pure.
And you're not sending it in a sexual manner.
No. Well, and I appreciate that. But at the same time, like, it was my responsibility to know.
Yeah.
I shouldn't send this. Mm-hmm. This could look really bad. This could make people uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes.
That's where, even though it doesn't matter how many people were egging it on or asking for it or begging for it and thinking it was so funny and everyone, you know, seems like this joke, I should have taken a second and been like, maybe send a bobby pin.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is not the thing to send to someone. This is not something
that... a silver one or a black one?
Well, I think I usually use the black ones.
Yeah, the brown one, that's cute.
Reds.
Mm-hmm. Something else, Colleen, that has come up and been discussed is the fact that you would participate in group chats with your fans, uh-huh. and there were minors in those chats, and there would be questions regarding their virginity and sex positions.
Right.
Inappropriate questions are being asked to underage people. What was going on?
That's true. It's completely inappropriate. And I used to do this weekly question and answer thing with my audience. And that particular group chat was full of a bunch of different fans of all ages, but they were crass and funny and ridiculous. And they would, whenever I asked for questions for my channel, they would ask me questions like that. They would ask me questions they knew I wouldn't answer that were over the top, inappropriate. So when one of them, which this part of the conversation is now deleted, those parts of the conversations are deleted or gone or somehow, I don't know. But when they asked for questions for theirs, I was trying to do the same jokes that they had just previously been doing with me. Stupid and inappropriate. Shouldn't have done it. I feel really embarrassed and stupid. And
did you know they were underage at the time?
I knew that there were teenagers in the chat. Yeah, I did know that. And I also thought, well, they all know I'm not serious. I don't want the answers to these questions. They all know that I'm just joking around, like they do this to me, and they know I'm not going to answer the questions. I know they don't want the answers. You know, like, I thought, like, this was, you know, it was clear between all of us that, like, I was joking. I didn't actually want this information from this person. Mm-hmm. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny to ask a really absurd, crazy question. And there were a bunch of questions I asked. Those were just a few of the awful ones that I did. And I very much, I should have never done that. That was crazy of me.
It wasn't in a grooming fashion.
Absolutely not. It was in a stupid fashion. It was like, I shouldn't.
For the laugh?
For the laugh. I thought it would make them laugh. I thought they'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. Ha ha ha. Like how they did with me often. They were very funny. That group chat of all these different kids, they're very funny, very dedicated, wonderful people.
So you were being one of the kids.
Yeah, right.
And you had forgotten.
Yeah,
so
right.
So you were acting more like one of your kid
right.
viewers
right.
versus remembering that you were actually the adult in
right,
the chat.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And that lends itself to the power dynamic that you had referenced earlier,
right.
where you kind of had
right.
lost the awareness of
right.
that relationship
right.
or dynamic.
There was no part of me that was wanting that information truly from them. I wasn't trying to get anything out of them. I was just trying to be like one of them, which is embarrassing to admit because that was not my responsibility in that time. I was trying to be silly like them and be their friend, when in reality, I was the one who's supposed to be the responsible one. I was the yeah. adult there that should have never participated in that conversation and should have never joked with him about that kind of stuff. There's the power dynamic there, that parasocial relationship that I wasn't thinking about, which was irresponsible of me. Like, I should have been thinking about that, and I should have removed myself from that chat immediately when they were joking about things that were inappropriate. I shouldn't have ever participated in those conversations. And it was rare that I was in there talking to them, but that is one of the moments where I did interact, and I wish that I hadn't. Mm.
Let's talk about JoJo for a second. Oh. So we know JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
You
what
know
up,
JoJo.
Joe?
You became friends with her when she was how old?
I first met JoJo, I think she was 11 when I met her and her mom for dinner, because JoJo was a fan. And she and another girl from the Dance Moms show wanted to meet me, so I went to dinner with them.
Some people will say that that was an inappropriate friendship for you two to develop mm-hmm. since she was 11 and you were an adult.
But thoughts, feelings?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't look at it as a friendship at first. She was 11.
Yeah.
And I looked at it as a sweet young girl. I loved the show she was on, and she liked my videos and looked up to me, and she wanted to meet me. And to me, I wasn't looking at it as like becoming best friends with her when I met her. It was just a sweet meeting. And then she's a hustler. You guys know JoJo. She immediately was like, well, I want to do, I had a video called Colleen's Corner that I answered questions every week. So she did JoJo's Juice to mm-hmm. do the same kind of, you know, she kind of looked at me as like a mentor, someone she looked up mm-hmm. to. And, you know, I don't want to speak for JoJo though. It feels weird talking about this without her here, but you know, she can say this herself if she wants. But, you know, so over time we became friends because she was such a hustler. She'd want to collaborate. And so we'd get together and make videos together.
Which was also very common for mm-hmm. YouTubers and fellow people
yeah.
in the world to want to collaborate and get to know each other, feed off each other's videos.
Right.
So.
And so, yes, we became friends, but it always felt more like a family thing because I'm a big family person. Like, I love my family. I'm always with my family. We're always hanging out. We're always having family gatherings. And I think that, again, I don't want to speak for her, but, you know, she liked to come over to our family gatherings and hang out with my family where we'd be playing games mm-hmm. and, you know, eating pizza with my parents. And sometimes her mom and her brother would come and her
yeah.
dad. Like, it was a very family.
They're a big family. The Siwas are a big
and,
family.
You know, and my brother and all his kids were there. So he's got six kids and they'd all be there and we'd all be playing. The kids would be putting on performances and we'd all be laughing and playing. So it always felt very like sisterly friends. And yes, now that she's older, and I would definitely consider her one of my close friends, and I love her dearly, and I admire her so much. I think she's incredible. I was very involved with talking with her mother all the time and making sure her mom knew when we were hanging out, and her mom was like, I'm friends with her mom. I love Jess.
Yeah.
That's all very shocking to me that people look at us being friends as... I mean, I guess it makes sense considering the allegations that have come up against me, but... I think JoJo's amazing. She's like a sister to me, and I'll stand by that forever. There's nothing weird or inappropriate about our friendship or our relationship. She is amazing. She's my sister, and I have a sister, and she's like a sister to her as well. And JoJo doesn't have a sister, and she's excited that now she calls us her sister. Mm. So yeah, it's never been a weird or inappropriate thing.
Even though YouTube is a community of non celebrity and celebrity people coming together and uploading videos, it has become an industry of its very own.
Totally. Yes.
And within an industry of entertainment, which is what YouTube is now, people are going to interact of all different backgrounds and all different ages. And there are so many YouTube kids that are not on YouTube because they're doing it themselves. They have their parents there with them. And we know Jess as well. We know the family. There will never, ever be a time where Jess is not aware of what JoJo is doing.
Yeah.
And I want to keep people aware that we really do have to be careful in how we throw stones at people when we don't know the entire story. When there is a culture within the entertainment industry that not a lot of people understand.
Mm-hmm. So much has happened, and I can only imagine that having to absorb and internalize all of this, a lot of it must have made you have to change. I want to know about some of these changes you've gone through since the height of the controversy.
Well, I'm much more anxious now, and I've been through so much therapy. Mm. And I also just think I go into kind of everything with a different perspective than I did before. I mean, when I responded to everything, I was really thinking about the whole situation from my perspective, obviously. Like, these people have shifted their opinion who are laughing with me and now they're not. And instead of thinking about, like, well, why? I was like, that's not fair, you know, and which was the wrong reaction. And so now I look at things a lot differently, just in general in life, you know. Even if I feel I have been wronged in any way or whatever, my go-to now isn't like, that person's wronged me. It's, what are they going through? Why did they say that? What's the root here? Because I think with everything that I went through and everything that I was canceled for, I was so caught up in the things that weren't true and, well, they're missing the context of this. So, well, and that was taken out of context there and this was deleted from this. And, you know, I wanted to explain everything and prove that I wasn't this horrible person, this monster. But, like, in my response, I kind of proved I was kind of, like,
dismissive.
Yeah, dismissive. And so, you know, I've learned to take a beat and try to hear what people are actually saying. Because, yes, there's going to be all the noise. And even when you're just having a little tiff with your partner, they're going to say they're mad about things they're not really. And it's important to try to, like, sift through the crazy and get to, like, what's the root here? Why is this person hurt?
Yeah.
And how can I help them to feel better? And how can I explain this in the right way to help them feel safe and okay when they're not feeling good?
Well, that mindset definitely comes with maturity. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that we all have to learn. That's something that people aren't born with. That mm-hmm. comes from trial and error. That comes from trauma. Mm-hmm. And that comes from a situation like what you have been through. Knowing that this lives online mm-hmm. forever, how are you going to explain this to your children?
That's part of the reason why I'm here now. You know, I kind of was of the mindset for so long, like, I just don't want to talk about it. I'm extremely non-confrontational. And I'm very anxious. And I will do absolutely anything to avoid a confrontation or avoid someone being upset with me or to a fault. It's not something I love about myself. It's something that gets me in trouble. And so I don't want to continue to, you know, bring it up for people that they don't, you know, it might hurt them or, you know, I just feel like, you know, people have said how they feel about me and I'm just going to back away because that's what I think that people want at this point. It's kind of how I felt.
You are coming back around to not say, take me in again.
No.
But you're coming back around to say, I know what I did. I know what I need to change. I'm changing. You don't have to love me. You don't have to like me.
Right.
But you recognize what happened. And that right. takes a lot of fucking courage.
I obviously wish I could go back and do everything differently in my reactions to this whole situation. I feel terrible that I made anyone feel anything other than happy and safe in our little community online. That's all I ever wanted. And I feel so terrible that I disappointed so many people. And I'm can't even talk.
You're okay. Take a beat.
Stressed. I should have thought a lot more about my interactions with my fans and how it could affect them. I should have been more responsible and thought about how these things could affect people, especially, you know, the teenagers that were interacting with me. And I'm so now, in hindsight, like grateful and proud of these people for coming forward and saying, like, hey, this is not okay behavior. Because even though I know that I never wanted to hurt anyone and my intentions and my desires were nothing negative in my interactions with these people, that needed to be said. They needed to say, like, hey, this isn't okay, because there are people out there who they do have the intentions to hurt them, and they need to be able to say, like, this isn't okay, and I'm not standing for this, and, like, my heart was in the right place. It doesn't matter if people felt uncomfortable. I'm proud of them for saying, like, this wasn't okay and this made me uncomfortable, or mm-hmm. this is not an okay thing to joke about, or whatever. You, like, that needed to happen. And I hope that anyone interacting with anyone online, whether it be a celebrity or a new friend or anyone, goes into it with that caution up of, like, what are these person's intentions? And assuming they're negative going into it, I feel like is a good thing to protect them from
real predators who actually
do want to hurt them.
I'd be curious to know your thoughts on what you think your spirit is here to learn. Because what you've had to endure
is a big learning lesson.
It's a masterclass beyond. And it has, I think, brought you to your knees. It has made you, as you said, more anxious. It's shifted your perspective. You had to take 2 years away. You haven't been online. I mean, it really kind of changed your life. So what do you think the lesson is for your soul, your being on Earth right now?
There are so many lessons. I mean, the things that I've learned and reflected on and thought about over the last couple of years is, I mean, I'm a completely different person now in so many different ways. One is, I mean, thinking about things from other people's perspectives is important, because mm-hmm. while, you know, I might have been like, I can't believe people would say this, I'm sure everyone watching was like, why? I can't believe she's not addressing this properly. I can't believe she's, you know, they felt betrayed by me, my fans and supporters, that I wasn't addressing this the appropriate way and explaining what was going on. Like, and so I've learned to try to, like, look at conflict from the other person's perspective. I've also, everything that I do and everything that I say, especially as a person of influence, is I'm impacting people. And is that impact necessary, and is it good? Mm. Because sometimes you don't need to make them laugh if it's going to hurt someone along the way. Like, you don't need to, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Thinking about the long term, as someone who thinks in the here, right now, what will make people happy right now and make people like me right now, that doesn't always result in good things. You know, mm-hmm. thinking in the long term and how is this going to snowball and affect people in the future is a way I've never thought before, and it's something I'm still learning and working on, because it is my go-to to be like, how can I make this person happy right now? I just want, you know, and that causes problems. You really need to be thinking about the other person's well-being and how it will affect them in the future.
Yeah.
And so that's something I've learned and I'm working on a lot.
It's apparent that you want to make amends, that you are taking responsibility for the things that you have done in the past that were not okay. And you've said, I'm sorry now many, many times before being on this show and now many times today on the show. But I want to know, have you been able to will you forgive yourself?
For some things, I think. But I also think I'm one of those people that, like, whatever hate comments or hate I receive, I've already thought it about myself at some point in my life. So, you know, I'm my biggest hater. They ain't got nothing on me. So, like, it's hard for me to have grace with myself and forgiveness. And I think that's why it's taken me so long to even say anything, is I'm just like, oh, okay, I'll just back away. Cause I just, you know, and that's one of the things I've learned in the last 2 years, is so much of my self-worth was based in the validation from my fans and making sure I was being entertaining and I was giving them what they wanted. And that was who I was as a person. So when that was taken away, I was like, then I'm nothing.
So that was a really hard lesson for me to learn, to find peace and happiness and validation and be okay with myself with that not there. Because you can't put your entire person and your whole validation in, like, what others think of you. And that's what I was doing with my fans. I wasn't anything without that.
Do you remember earlier when I asked you what your lesson was for your soul? That, to me, is actually the answer. That the person that you are, because you've struggled with your worth, because you've struggled with your confidence, it's like when you have those questions of, am I worthy enough to be here? If you're in this industry and you show weakness, that will be eaten alive.
Yeah.
Because people prey on that. Right. And I think your soul's journey here is to learn that you're worthy and to really find peace in yourself,
right,
and love yourself. Because I tell you,
well,
it's brutal.
I'm still working on that one.
I know.
This is not a woe is me thing at all, but like there was, with everything that happened, I was about to do another Broadway show, and I was writing my next book, and I was on in the middle of a big tour, and everything was one by one like plucked from me. Everything that I'd been working on and worked for decades, you know, was gone, and it sucked. But like, honestly, like what really struck me was the who am I without this validation from these people. So it took me a while to wake up and not be disappointed, you know, like,
yeah.
But like, yeah, I definitely worked really hard to get there and realized one day, like, oh, I'm not getting any validation from any audience and I'm okay. Like, and obviously I have the most important things in the world to me, which is my children and my family, and that's all that I need. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at now. I think I needed to get to that point before coming out and saying anything, because I need to have everything that I need before I make sure this is, because I'm just want to clear the air and say my side of things without any like expectations or, you know.
Or ukulele.
God, fuck that ukulele. Can I say that word?
Yes. You can say that word.
Thank you so much, Colleen, for coming and bearing your soul and being honest and addressing the concerns of others.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. You're and thanks well. For chatting with me.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Do you want to touch on what she's doing now?
No one gives a shit what I'm doing. Who cares? They'll come. They find me.
Just say it. So just say it so we can have it.
Yeah. Read like, my well, book. You can find me at follow me on Instagram.
Oh my God. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. I want to take a moment to thank you guys, our community, for being here with us. We are so grateful for all of you. And something else I do want to share is one of the things that I really like about podcasting and what made me actually want to start a podcast with Raven was we really like to have conversations with all types of people. People that we know well, people that we don't know at all, people that have different views than we have, people that have similar views. I think that a beautiful part of life is sitting down to have honest, hard, authentic, fun, joyful conversation with people and learning how to show all people respect. And we want to do more of that on this show. So we felt it was our duty as your hosts to inform you of what our intention is and where we plan to go in the future with Tea Time.
So thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for supporting this community. Don't forget to like and share. And until next time, take care of yourself and others. I like that tag. Did you like my tag?
I did. Yeah, I did. And don't forget to comment down below if you have a guest that you'd really like to see on the show, because we'll do our best to get them here.
Love you.